This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 7th, episode 1313. Ooh, it's brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning. It's Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 1941. 74 years ago today was Pearl Harbor. And I know many of you had parents or grandparents that were in World War II. And I just wanted to mention that day and say that we're thinking about everybody who had families of people who were involved in World War II. So Pearl Harbor Day. Well, we have a lot to go over today, a lot to chat about. Had a fun weekend here in Florida, and I know
big
you were,
weekend.
Yeah, you did too. You had some interesting child things this weekend. That
I did. I was a parent this weekend.
You were a parent and an Air Force wife.
I know. I did my duty.
All in one
duty.
Weekend. You okay? You have a fever this morning?
I'm on like my ninth cup of coffee.
Do you stay away from the sick children when you have to get together with other children like that?
Considering I just got over a sickness, obviously I'm not doing a very good job if I'm trying because I got it.
Wait
from
till
kids.
He goes to school, then you're
oh
gonna be in
gosh.
Trouble.
I know. Just real quick, I did have to go to the Nutcracker last night that was performed by like. You know, 8 year olds. And they actually were like a dance troupe. They're from east of the East Valley in Phoenix. Professional dance troupe, and they all get up on stage.
Can they be professional at 8 years old?
Like, whatever. They're like, they were, I thought maybe it was going to be like Air Force Wives kids, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And here comes Susie, who's been dancing for 3 days, you know? Like, I thought it may be like that. And this is a professional dance troupe. So the lights go down. And all of a sudden you hear over the microphone, does anybody in the audience please have an iPad 4 charger? Does anybody have an iPad
4? They couldn't get the music to work.
Charger. We're running a little low on battery. Thank you. If you could bring it to the back, that'd be great. Seriously? Bless their little hearts, man. Those girls work so hard and those boys work so hard on dancing and they... It's like it was so bad. I mean, it was like, and do cut. Like they'd start dancing and the music would die, and then they start dancing again. The music would die, and of course Lucas thought this was all great.
Yeah, he
like,
thought it was great fun.
Mom. Like he loved it. And so the girls were dancing without music, and then it would cut back on. It was a different part of the song, and they're like all freaked out, like not
trying to catch up. Oh man.
It was a lesson in humility for a bunch of young girls and boys.
That'll be on America's Funny Host Home Videos soon.
Oh my gosh, it was so fun. I mean, it was not funny, but it was like, so I was like, and then this poor frantic like director of the troupe was freaking out. I was just watching it going, glad it's not me. Glad it's not me. Sorry. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? I'm in the holiday spirit. Can you tell?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition,
following a less than focused recounting of everyone's respective weekend adventures, we'll go behind the scenes at Woodbine for a chat with the Clerk of Scales. And then galloping flat out across the finish, the wacky world of Horse Nation wins by a nose. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, Jamie, you get to go first today.
Well, you guys know my little loyal friend, Basset Hound Lucky. I figured I'd give him my daily whinny because some changes are afoot. You know, uh-oh. When I first got him, man, he was like glued to me. You know, he's just all under me. I would come and do the show and he'd sit right next to my feet. And, you know, now that little jerk face won't even get out of his dog bed to come in here with me. Like, all I do for you, I'm like, come on, Lucky, I'm trying not to wake anybody up. Lucky, come here, Lucky, come here. And he's like, basically rolls over on his back and gives me like a Basset Hound middle finger. Like, I'm not getting up for you right now. Lucky, you come here right now. Lucky, come. Nothing.
I'm healthy and happy now. I don't need you anymore.
I'm good. I'm going to continue to sleep in my big, giant, fluffy bed. I'm not going to lay on your hard carpet in your office. No way, no, dude. So my little friend is growing up.
He's maturing now. He's at that teenager years where you don't know nothing, Mom. You suck.
You are terrible, Mom. I just don't care about you. I'm staying in bed. All right, that was it. That's all I have.
Well, my daily whinny goes to my wife and Beaker. How could I not give her my daily whinny after how well she did over the weekend, how well Beaker did, Ace Western Dressage Pony. So why don't we let Jennifer talk about her weekend? She did two things.
Yes. Please tell. Jennifer's
sound
machine.
Yes, okay. That's for Beaker. Beaker was the little rock star, and everybody's been watching his trail video, which I'm kind of bummed about because that was a little bit embarrassing, to tell you the truth. I wish they would have watched the dressage video, but I've discovered something, and that is that Western dressage is even more boring than English dressage to watch. It's lots of fun to do, but really boring.
Now, Jennifer, I'm gonna go ahead out here and say that I'm glad you said that because I've watched Beaker's trail video like three times, and you're right. He wanted to go. He didn't love the Western bit. He just was like, why am I doing this so slow? But
yeah, he really wanted to do it at fox hunting speed.
Yes.
Well, he was trying super hard, but like, I feel like he didn't appreciate the West. He's like, get off my face. Let me go. And I'm like, this is so cool. You know, it was great. And to listen to Glenn's take on it was so wonderful. He was such a supportive, proud husband. And then I watched 30 seconds of the dressage and I'm like, yep. Oh my gosh. Full court dressage arena, walk and trot. It's never a good mix. Or jog. Yeah.
That's a long time to walk and jog.
Yeah.
Really,
really long time. But please carry on. I thought you did wonderful.
Well, the trail part, I was in the baby putt putt divisions for both of the ones I did, and poor Beaker. I feel bad because I really fouled that up for him. I could have done a much better job, but it's very, very, very detailed. And the obstacles are very close together. So you had to jog through a turn that was maybe 5 meters in diameter. And it was a serpentine of 4 loops. It just happened to be that there were obstacles in your way, so you had to make the loops. But if you can imagine trying to jog or trot through a dressage test doing a 4-serpentine, 5-meter loop. So that kind of started us out on a bad foot. That was really tough. But by the time we got to the finish, I'm going, okay, I fouled this up. We'll do better next time. So we'll set that aside.
I think a lot of people had never seen a trail class like that. And let's face it.
It's fun to do.
Lynn Palm has one of the most beautiful ones in the country. I mean, it's, you know, hers is really, really nice.
that place is amazing.
Yeah, she has a nice place, as you would expect Lynn Palm to have. She has a nice place, and the trail class is a lot of fun, and I think they're going to become more popular as people hear about it. But yeah, and you know, at the upper levels, Jamie, when I was doing the Periscope, Jamie was like, this is really slow. Well, yeah, it is slow at the trot level that Jennifer was at.
Yeah.
But at the more upper levels, they go much faster through it.
Yeah.
I know Jamie would like to do it at about a cross-country speed, you know? But it's very detailed. You trot here, you walk here, and it's like every step of the way. You trot over this log, you walk over this one.
And did
you have to walk the course to learn it, or did you just kind of look at it from the sides? Well, how do you practice for that?
They have an official walk with the judges first, and the whole class has the opportunity to walk around it with the judge, and the judge can answer questions about what they're looking for and things like that. And then, and there was lots of time in between all those walks where you could walk it as many times as you wanted by yourself. And it's very interesting because this is the way this is set up. If you forget where you're going, I don't know which obstacle's left next. All you do is stop and raise your hand, and the judge will tell you which obstacle is next, and there's no penalty.
What?
Yes.
Jamie's gone, I need that.
Now, there are no numbers, and there are no it's just a whole bunch of trees laying around out there, you know? So it's not like you have anything to guide you. And by the time you get to the upper levels, there's like 20 obstacles all mashed in and around in there. So you're all making loops back on yourself and stuff. So they're trying to make it really, really user friendly. And it's
You can have a caller too.
You can have a caller. Yeah. Now your caller should probably have a dirt bike to get around, but yeah.
Do you, so even in the upper levels, you can just stop and be like, excuse me.
Yes.
Line. You know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Ha. Huh.
Interesting.
That is really interesting.
And it's all judged on horsemanship, which is why I came in dead last in my class.
You were last? Oh, baby.
Pretty sure I was dead last.
You know what? DFL award for you, baby. Way to go.
I didn't get lost, right? I went around in all the right order. I did a great job.
DFL award only counts if you don't end up with an E behind your name.
No,
okay?
It
has to be a number.
She didn't have any.
No. Yay!
Jamie.
But then he was a star. There were like 8 people in her dressage class, and he came in second. So
I'm watching it right now. Yeah, he looks like a little Western dressage pony. He's so cute. He has such a little refined little head.
He has a teensy-weensy little head. He reminds me a little bit of a drawing of an alien where they have a giant body and a teensy-weensy head on the top of it. It's just too small for the rest of him.
He does take it out of that. And he did great. She was so proud. You should have seen her, Jamie, when she came out. She was so excited about how well Beaker did. She was so excited.
You know, I'm watching his dressage test right now, and I'm seeing him go down the long side. And he's actually, like, unlike some horses I might have ridden in the past, he's actually walking in a straight line. I mean, just perfect.
He was uncharacteristically straight.
Oh, and when she came in, Jamie, you're going to love this. This is something that would happen to you. This was us. She comes in to do the test.
I was the first one in my class.
She was the first one in her class. I just finished the previous class. She comes in to do her test. Well, this test did not have a stop and salute at the beginning. The previous test did. So she gets down the center line and she goes to make her first turn and the judge rings the bell. And says, you're off course. Well, she's like, no, I'm not. There was no stop in this test. And then the judge is scrambling, looking through papers and goes, oh, okay, start over. Isn't that something that would happen to you?
Yeah, except for the judge would have been right.
I was really upset. We had nailed the center line. You know,
yeah, like, she had to go out and start over. And I noticed you didn't trot out. You walked out, which was smart, actually. Yeah. I'm going to make you wait then.
Yeah. Good for you. I think that was a lovely test. I just watched it. Very good.
And I'm pretty sure we would have gotten first, but I missed a halt because the Western dressage tests have a lot more halts and standstills than you would in English because that skill set is very important in the stock horse business.
Well, I missed one. It's easier to stop when you're going 0 miles an hour. Right.
That's right.
You know what's hard to do is not the stop, it's the standstill part. That a lot of horses had trouble with.
She got 8s on her standstill. You should see her test. She got 7s and 8s.
I looked at it. I'm so proud. So, Jennifer, are you hooked? Are you going to compete a little bit more now?
Yeah, we'll see.
She was so embarrassed when she got done. She said, my horse is so good at Western dressage.
Don't tell anybody.
But he was a very good boy, and yeah, I did have a great time.
It was yeah, Lin Pham was very accommodating and was all excited that Jennifer was there, so it was cool. Yeah. It was kind of fun.
I'm glad for you. I had the opposite horse weekend, so I'm thrilled that you had
a good
one.
Thank you very much for contributing, Jamie.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What'd I do?
for having the opposite horse
weekend. That's right. We did one other thing real quick. I wanted to mention this. Yesterday, we had the opportunity. We were invited to go out to Almara Arabians, which is in Claremont, Florida, which is a little bit south of Orlando. It's in Lake Country. Absolutely. We had never been down there before. It's in the exact middle of Florida, and there's just nothing but lakes, and it is absolutely beautiful area. But I can tell why he bought the farm down there is because it gets pretty rural out there. Yet I had more bars than I do here in Ocala. I don't get that. But so we go down there, and this is one of the oldest. It is the oldest Arabian breeding operation in the country. His mother started it, and her two farms are in Arizona, actually. Tucson and up by the Grand Canyon.
There's a lot of Arabs in Arizona.
Is there? Wow, makes sense, you know. So makes sense with you guys having desert and all.
Yeah.
But he breeds a lot for has 40 world championships or something. And he was the one that ran Mark Miller was the one that ran Arabian Nights before it closed And the two horses that were in the front of Arabian Nights actually were there. So it was fun. We had a good time. We got to meet them, got to meet Mark. He's going to come on a show here someday. He has some very funny stories to tell about how this whole breeding operation actually started. And then they did a little demonstration. And they did the first one, which I didn't get a periscope of, was they took one of their championship horses and took it over a jumping course, which was beautiful. This horse did very well. And then they did what the Arabian people do is they bring them out and let them run around like crazy.
Yeah.
So, and it's fun to watch. Let's admit it. It is fun to watch Arabians run and tear around the arena like crazy. So he talked a lot about the breed and, you know, all of that. There were some interesting things there. There was a group of Chinese there. And I got to meet them.
That qualifies as a delegation.
Yeah, but it was a delegation, actually. There were about 6 or 8 of them coming over because the Chinese are getting huge into horses. You know, we, on some of the shows, they're like our number 4 largest listening base is China. And they said, you know, I was talking to them. There were 2 of them that spoke English, and I was talking to them, and they said that that it's becoming huge in China, and they're really focusing on the Olympic sports, you know, as you guessed they would. But they're also getting into Arabians and all kinds of things. These people were from the Global Horse Industry Investment Company. They were all very nice and, you know, we're chatting a little bit. And in both places, we met listeners, actually, it was kind of funny, and I love when this happens, when we were out at Lynn's place, one of the ladies said, heard my voice and said, "Are you Glenn?" And I said, "Yeah, she actually is from Atlanta, listens on her way to work."
Wow. Yeah. Well, she's got a good commute in Atlanta, so that's good.
Yeah, so she listens on her way to work and listens to the show. So, hello. I wish I could remember her name.
Zai hao woman de zhonggu o ting zhang wo man han gaking ni zai xiali.
I hate to ask what that was.
Hello to our Chinese listeners. We are glad you are here. Obviously, that's what I said. I can't believe you didn't pick that up. Gosh.
Well, I said we'd get one of them on someday and chat with them.
And then to our Atlanta listener, hey, y'all. How's it going?
But we met listeners, so that was fun, too.
Good deal. I'm excited.
Well, yeah, we had a good time at the Arabian place. It was fun. It was a pretty drive in central Florida in the perfect 75-degree weather.
It was beautiful here, too. I know people hate us, but that's why we suffer through these god-awful summers.
That's right.
So we have this wonderful winter. So keep that in mind.
Hey, I got to ask. Wait, go ahead.
I want to hear the Norman drama next.
Oh, my God.
Okay, wait one second. Go.
That's the best sound effect you've ever played. And it's especially appropriate right now because I had something weird happen that has never happened to me before. And
something new? I thought you had done it all.
Oh, no, honey. It just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. So real quick, Norman is my big 17-2 hand thoroughbred that I got about 3.5 months ago. And I've kind of had to start him over because he was pretty nervous. He's great on the ground, but he gets a little nervous when you go to tack him up. So I've done all these different things. He just has anxiety about being worked. So how we start our work is I get him tacked up in his stall while he's eating hay. He's a little bit girthy. So I get him tacked up in the stall, let him walk around and eat hay while he is getting tacked up. Then I bring him to the arena, and I have been long lining him, but he was nervous when I would long line him. So now I let him go in the arena totally loose with my saddle on and the bridle on with the reins wrapped up. And then we do some join up in the arena, and then I put the long lines on and he stands perfectly still. So he's been great. So I let him out in the arena and he goes to the end of the arena and he's kind of walking around and he maybe trots like one time around. Now he gets it. Like he's like, join up. As soon as she puts me in the arena, I'm going to join up with her so I don't have to run. And he's like, he's got that figured out. But he trots to the end of the arena like he usually does. I close the gate and I walk out to the middle and he turns to walk towards me and join up. So, you know, what you do when they come to join up is you kind of get a submissive state. You know, you look to the ground and a little bit to the side. And I heard this noise. And so I look up at him and he's laying on the ground. And I thought, son of a bitch, he's rolling in my saddle. Like, I'm like, gotta get up. So I run over to him and he gets up. And as soon as I'm like, get up, get up, get up. Then he jumps up. Like he just was like laying there, you know, and he jumps up and then gallops off and then he starts galloping around the arena. I'm like, okay, we're back to starting board. I chased him away. He was laying down, about to roll in my saddle. And then I notice I can't even describe the amount of blood that was coming from his face.
What?
What?
I like literally he starts licking and chewing and his tongue is red. There's blood pouring out of his face. I told you that was the perfect sound effect. I was not messing around when I said Norman drama. So I'm like, okay, crap. And now he's frantically galloping because I don't know. He just seemed
overly frantic. So he's galloping with blood spewing everywhere?
Spewing everywhere. And mind you, I have these beautiful white back on track wraps
not
on his
anymore.
Front legs and back legs. Not anymore. They're speckled now with drops of blood and all this. So coming around, I finally get him stopped and there is blood gushing, not from inside his mouth. Because I thought maybe he bit his tongue when he laid down. No, he wasn't rolling. He hit the dirt. He fell so hard that he scraped the entire right, like his where his nostrils are, and the just that soft part right above their mouth, mm-hmm. and to the right of their nose, mm-hmm. was gone, like road rash scraped off, super
this
deep
is in sand,
in my arena sand, and then
the
side of his
that?
Shoulder is totally scraped up, and God, I wish I could go back and like watch what happened, but basically. What I surmised after talking to my veterinarian, because then I call my vet immediately. I'm like,
yeah, dude. Especially with Norman.
Yeah. I mean, this is a 17-2 hand horse that basically just fell on his face. Like, and so she's like, Jamie, this is not good. Like, this is like maybe potential, like he passed out. I'm like,
Did you see him go down?
No, because he was started to walk towards me.
Oh, and you were doing the join up thing.
And I was trying to look down and I just heard like a, I don't even know what the sound or a thump or something. And I look over and he's flat out on the ground. And that's when I turn, I mean, it was so quick. I was like, get him, get him, get him. And he pops up and he goes galloping and then the blood starts, you know? And so basically what she thinks is that he just, because there was no, like, he didn't try to stop himself from falling. Like, he just flat hit the ground and his nose and shoulder hit the ground with no know anybody trying to stop himself. Like, he wasn't trying to stop himself. You know, it was just like total nosedive. And so she's coming out tomorrow and going to do like an EKG and do a lot, like try to see. She's like, does he hold his breath? Does he have, has he ever like passed, has he ever done anything like this before? And I said, no, I've never even had a horse like fall over. Like, I mean, just boom, while it's walking around. So she's going to do some.
Norman is a vet's best friend.
Oh my God.
Between his leg where he got hurt, where you don't even know how he got hurt, put that puncture hole
that went to a bone infection. And so she's going to come out and do a lot of neurologic tests and see if he's got something neurologic going on. But
I think there's some horses that just don't want to work and they'll do anything they can to get out of work.
He did not mean to do this, Glenn. I promise.
He just went down, huh?
He just flat hit the ground. And so, you know, as of now, Chad's like, I am not. You cannot ride a 17-2 hand monster that's just going to fall over.
Well, he's right.
And
that.
He has tripped and fallen. Like, he hasn't fallen, but he has tripped pretty severely with me.
Yeah, he does have a trippy thing going, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. So we're gonna get the vet out here and just examine what's kind of going on. I mean, maybe this was a freak accident. Maybe something's going on, but he's just kind of a, you know, that's why I got the damn horse pre-purchased when I bought him. Because I've never pre-purchased a, you know, $1,500 horse in my entire life. And I pre-purchase him and he totally passes. And I've had more issues with this damn horse than anyone I've never pre-purchased.
Kind of how it works, isn't it?
I'm so frustrated. I'm sorry, you guys. I just had to vent a little bit. So we're gonna do the
Lyme test.
Is that something that would happen?
Yeah, neurological. Yep.
Yeah, they can get neurological from it. Yep. Yeah. And it is with Lyme in a horse. It is often described as intermittent, and I can't forget the word they
just
use.
Just don't have ticks out here, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's not spent his entire life there.
Yeah, he hasn't been at your place the whole time. He could have came with it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, there's my uber frustrating, stupid.
Oh, Norman, little purple heart. Poor guy.
I know. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let me tell you.
Apologies to your budget, too.
Ouch. Yeah, exactly.
The husband is like seriously over.
Between the dog and
he is Norman. Like, and then, you know, he's like, I don't want you riding that horse. And then I book the vet appointment. And he's like, we're getting the vet out again. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? Just sit there forever? We have to figure out what happened. Like, you won't let me ride him anymore, but like,
yeah, I kind of am on his side for that, though, Jamie.
Right, but then you're going to have the vet out to, like, check out what just happened. Why did my horse hit the ground and, like, plow into it with his nose? I mean, and so I've been, like, treating this nose wound. And, of course, he's like, because I got the blood. It was like, blood was everywhere. And you know, he's back here where the stalls are, and I come walking back 10 minutes after I get started, and he's like, oh, it's about to come out. What happened? He's like, oh my God. It's like, there's blood everywhere. I mean, all over my shirt.
And I'm sure all Chad could think of is, let that be Norman's blood.
Yeah.
And not Jamie's.
And he, oh, of course, he's like, oh my God, what happened? Are you okay? I was like, no, we're fine. We're fine. We're fine. He just cut his nose, and then I proceed to tell him the whole
and
story.
And noses like, bleed was, like a, you know.
Oh, yeah. But like, he hit the left side of his nose, the right side of his nose is like gone, and the left shoulder is scraped up. So it's like he just collapsed. Like, that scrape the right side of your nose and the left point of your shoulder. I don't even know how that happened. God darn it, that looking down and not watching what happened. I'm so irritated. But I've taken him out. The vet said take him out every day since then, you know, until the appointment, which is tomorrow morning, and see if he has anything different, start to notice if he has anything going on, and he holds his breath if it happens again. And so far, nothing. So
I didn't know horses would hold their breath like that.
Well, I don't know if he did or not. I never noticed. I mean, horses hold their breath when you girth them up sometimes.
Not enough to pass out.
No, and he was just walking. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like he was galloping and like slipped and hit the dirt. He was walking. It's so bizarre. Anybody who has had, please send me a message if you have ever had anything like this happen. I've had a horse slip and fall when, you know, sideways when it was in the mud. when it was trotting while I was on it. And then I had a horse what had just gotten new shoes, and the owner put me up on it, didn't tell me it had just gotten new shoes, and I go to trot and the thing does a somersault. So I have had horses, but nothing like this. Like, these horses were in motion and there was some outside things that contributed to the falling. I've never had a horse just walking fall. Like, they don't want to fall, you know, and you don't want them to want to fall. So
Did you see the video of the NRHA Futurity, the horse that laid down?
When the guy backed him up and he just laid down 100 miles an hour. Yeah. I think he just lost his footing.
I think he did too, but he laid down and stayed there. Just like, yeah. I'm not getting up.
God, that must have been exhausting. He just backed up for 2 hours, like cantering backwards. God,
it was
I would have laid there too.
That's kind of funny to watch, actually.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, our best thoughts for Norman.
Thank you. Jamie at horseradionetwork.com, please.
Yeah, if you have anything that to contribute to that conversation.
We'll talk a little bit later about Luke and his ride, Santa. I just kind of had to vent about this. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll talk about Lucas. He got to go visit Santa, and not all went according to plan.
No.
But let's hear from our friends over at Omega Alpha Equine, and then we're going to come back. I did an interview because she wasn't available in the mornings. I recorded an interview with Allison, who is the clerk of scales and a timer at Woodbine. This is our Behind the Scenes at Woodbine series, woodbineentertainment.com. And we're going to find out all about what a clerk of scales does and what a timer does at a racetrack right after this word from Omega Alpha Equine. Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horse's respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier, or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Hi, Allison. Thank you so much for joining us on Horses in the Morning.
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for asking.
Well, we love the series that we've been doing with Woodbine about the different jobs and things that happen at the track. And you have two jobs that I'm very interested in hearing about. Let's talk about the Clerk of Scales first. What's the Clerk of Scales do?
That's a fancy term for being in charge of the jock's room. I'm in charge of everything behind the scenes to do with the jockeys, whether it's making sure they come out in the right silks or clean pants, making sure they come out in time, making sure they've got the right saddles, the right weight, everything to do with the jockeys, and also the valets that saddle the horses.
I didn't know that you were in charge of the whole jock's room. I really thought you were just standing by the scale all day.
I'm sure that's how the term started. I'm sure it's quite an old English term. That's exactly what it was, and that's exactly what I do. I sit with the scale in front of me, which, as a woman, that's not something I enjoy doing, but I do. But no, I'm in charge of it all. Yep.
That's funny. Well, now you, so you actually also have to make sure that they have the right silks on. That's also part of your job?
It is. We have a room at the back of the jock's room that's filled with about 12,000 silks. They're all individual. They're all unique. None of them are the same. And it can be quite a task to make sure that they get out and on the right jockey at the right time. Because if they're not, trust me, we hear about it.
What do you have this? I picture this great big old binder, right, with the name of the farm and the picture of the silk, so that you make sure they get in the right one. How exactly does that work?
That's very close, actually. The Ontario Racing Commission, when they license their owners, they assign numbers to them. And we used to have a big binder that they were all the numbers were in under the names, but now it's just everything's on the computer. We punch in a name, it gives us a number. And there's racks and racks and racks. And they're actually the big turning racks that you would see in a dry cleaner.
Oh, yeah?
We have, ours are double height. So we have a top and a bottom rack, and there's three of them. They're huge. And we just spin it to the right number and pull it out. Now, if you're really good, like our color man, Des McMahon, is, or Tyrone Harding, our foreman guy, you don't need the book. You just give them a name, and they walk right to the proper number and pull them out.
And the silks are dependent upon the owner, right?
They are. They belong to the owner. We're responsible for keeping them safe and sound and clean. They do belong to the owner, and they're all unique. And they're also unique in the sense they can, owners can choose whether they like satins, whether they like the fancy aerodynamics, or there's a new type of silk out called speed silk, and they're actually dimpled like a golf ball. So they can get very technical, and it's up to the owner to choose what they prefer and what colors they like.
Do jockeys have one they prefer?
I think they prefer the plain old nylons.
Yeah.
I really think they do. Yeah, the tried and true, the traditional.
I'm surprised there's that many. I'm stuck on the silk. Sorry about that. But I'm surprised there's that many because I don't think about that many owners of horses.
There are, yes. It's true. And it's up to them as to whether, if they join a partnership, if they'd like to get a separate set of colors for that partnership or just use their own. So one person can have many sets. It's very unique. Yeah. It's an interesting part of the game.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, you're also, as we talked about, you're the clerk of scales. And I think everybody always is confused about the weight thing and adding weight and, you know, what's and everything that happens concerning the weight that needs to be in the saddles and on the horses. Is there any way you can explain that simply for us?
The weight is judged not by the jockey. It's judged by what is the horse accomplished. So the more the horse is accomplished, the more weight he's assigned. And that tries to help make it even so that the horse that hasn't accomplished or doesn't have as many wins has lighter weight. And it tries to make sure that everybody's sort of even.
So American Pharoah is going to carry more weight than a horse that's running his second time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
You know, and I guess that was started years ago because there were horses that were just so much better. It was just always the same horses winning. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Was that it?
Yeah. In a perfect world, when you do a handicap, it's they try to figure out to get all the horses to the wire at the same time. So a good horse will have higher weight. A younger horse, also 2-year-olds, carry less weight. But not as good horses or horses that haven't won as many races carry less weight, so hopefully it's easier for them to run.
And the weight is put in the saddle pads?
It's listed on the program, and then we have to adjust it according to what the jockey weighs with is fully clothed, and we like it when they're fully clothed and they got all their boots on and their safety equipment. And they have different size saddles, so we can either change saddle as to what the jockey prefers, or we can add weight, either pockets in the saddle, adding lead. They call them slugs or pieces of lead into the saddle. But now they've also got pads, rubber pads that are weighted. And so they can also change the pads.
How much weight are we talking about in a range? Would you, what would be the max you would actually have to add?
Some of the smaller riders, they have 10-pound pads. And so it's not unusual for them to use their 10-pound pads quite a lot. Oh, okay. Most jockeys, it's in the 2 to 3 pound range.
Oh, it's okay. So it's not 50 pounds. It's
10 pounds would be the most, and we fine tune it right up to half a pound. We have pieces of lead that are half a pound, and we do fine tune it right up to half a pound.
Got it. Now you also have another job at the track because that isn't enough. You also clock horses. So tell us about that.
I do my early morning job. That's the fun job. That's the one where you're up quite early in the morning. You're at the racetrack. Training hours are at Woodbine from 6 to 10 or 6 to 10:30, depending on racetrack you're at. So the clockers are there first thing. They try to get there a little bit before 6, just in case the track opens early. And we're there to watch the horses train. When they have workouts where they actually are getting ready for a race and have a fast workout, we're there to time them and tell the horsemen what time they went in. And that workout is recorded for the daily racing form and distributed for the public so they can see how the horse is doing, how he's training.
Now, is that a stopwatch kind of thing, or is it more official?
No, it's absolutely just a stopwatch thing because you can have many, many, many horses going at the same time. So, no, unfortunately, we can't use anything like the teletimer. There's 3 or 4 of us, and we each have 2 watches each, and we're just timing them.
Trying to keep track of who's who and which horse is which. And
absolutely. It can get pretty crazy in the springtime when everybody is trying to get ready for the race, trying to get fit again after having the winter off. It can get pretty crazy, pretty busy, yeah.
See, I don't think I knew that it was the track. I always thought it was the trainers that recorded those times, but I guess it would have to be the track if it was going in the official...
Absolutely. Yeah. It has to be objective and honest and upfront. And we do have to tell and record what we see. For instance, if a horse runs is supposed to work 3 furlongs, but the jockey screws up and goes 4 furlongs. Then we'll put it under the 4 furlong column, or if a horse is run off with, or there's all kinds of things. But we have to record what we see, and we're up to be objective and fair, and we're out to make sure that the betting public gets the correct information.
Now, what would you say is the coolest part? By the way, I want to ask you this, because I was just thinking about you getting there at 6 a.m. and then the races are in the evening. You get to go home in the afternoon?
No, I don't. I go race straight from one to the other.
And do you have a life outside the track? Just thought I'd ask, because...
No, not really. I have my cats at home, and they yell at me when I come home, and I go, oh, hey, hi, how are you? I'm going to bed now.
Because that is like a all-day job.
It is. It's a lot of hours, but it's fun.
What is the coolest part of your job? What do you enjoy the most?
It has to be watching the horses. I mean, it's not a Monday to Friday 9-to-5 job. To be out and about and watching the horses and then having a different schedule and having exciting things to talk about, whether it be American Pharoah or a local champion, it's really exciting.
Well, you know, we've talked to so many people in different jobs from the track up there, and it truly, the track life, no matter what you're doing, whether you're grooming horses, cleaning stalls, you know, all the way up to the vice presidents and things we've talked to, it truly is your life. I mean, it truly does become your life. Look, you're working about 100 hours a week. It is all consuming. It's that kind of job.
Yeah, I mean, then you take it home or you have a day off and you go watch the movie Seabiscuit. I mean, it really is.
Huh. Do you ride outside of work?
I used to, but I just don't have time anymore. I used to. I'm not a very brave rider, so that stopped. But no, not anymore.
So you just get your fill of horses and jockeys there. You let them do the riding for you.
I sure do. Yep, they're much better at it than I am.
Well, that is so cool. Thank you so much for letting us know what the Clerk of Scales does and what somebody who clocks horses does at Woodbine. And, of course, you can find more information about Woodbine at woodbineentertainment.com. Now, what do you do in the off season when they're not racing?
In the off season, my husband works for track maintenance at Belmont, works for NYRA, the New York Racing Association. So I'm going to go visit him in New York.
Oh, wow.
It's racing
at
again.
The track.
Racing. Absolutely.
You can't get away from that, Allison.
I cannot. Nope.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you being on. Well, that's cool. I'd never really talked to somebody who had that position. And you know, all the guests we've had from Woodbine have been so cool. We really have had some great guests from Woodbine. We appreciate them doing that. News that we haven't covered news in so long, it seems like, with the Radiothon and everything else that was going on. We just haven't had time. So do you
We've
have some for us?
Well, first of all, let me just say thanks to all the listeners that are already messaging me about Norman. I appreciate it. That's very sweet. Well, I did have some news, just a little bit of an update. If you remember last week, there was a donkey, little miniature donkey in Norman, Oklahoma, that was running loose on a main road. And the police and somebody that lived right around that area where the donkey was running stopped and caught him. And the woman who was involved in catching the donkey said, oh, we can bring him to my house until, you know, we find his owner.
Oh, Squishy the donkey.
Squishy the donkey. Yes, Squishy. They named him Squishy. And the police was like, sure. Where do you live? She's like 4 miles away. Okay, well, how are we going to get him there? Let's throw him in the back of the police car. So they put little Squishy into the back of the police car and they drive him to this lady's house where she's going to keep him until they find the owner. Well, of course, then the donkey pooped in the patrol car and it went viral. And like the whole thing, picture of the donkey in the back went all over the world, it seems. And then it turns out that when they got back, that the police officer had to pressure wash his seats in the back. Poor little guy. But I'm sure they're used to fluid.
Yeah, they're used to people throwing up in the back of the car.
I don't care. But they did find Squishy's owner. Cruz, it transpires, belonged to a guy named Matt Spaulding, a local chiropractor. Cruz had managed to escape through a fence, which also included hot wire. So Cruz was ready to go.
He was out of there.
And then so they saw him on the news and they all was reunited and Cruz Squishy Cruz is home now.
back with his owners.
Well, I have another. This is a follow up to that story.
Oh, good.
This is in Minneapolis. Minneapolis police officers responded to a car crash in the city's downtown Saturday. Downtown Minneapolis, pretty good sized city, right? And when authorities got to the Ford Explorer, they found a Shetland pony inside on the passenger seat.
What?
This is the actual police tweet. They tweeted this out. This is on Facebook, actually. Under the heading of "You Can't Make This Stuff Up" this morning, Minneapolis police officers responded to the report of a personal injury motor vehicle crash at 11th Avenue and 6th Street. Officers and paramedics arrived to find a Shetland pony in the front seat of a Ford Explorer. Officers worked diligently to free the animal and see that he or she was properly cared for. Yep. That's right. Apparently, the driver was not given a citation in regards to the pony. In Minneapolis, it's illegal to keep a hoofed animal, although it's okay if the animal is being transported expeditiously through the city. Apparently, they were very expeditious. You got an accident.
Drive faster.
Yeah.
But if you have a Shetland pony in your front seat, of course you're going to get in an accident.
Yeah.
You stop it. Do not. That's the gear shift. No. Shift into reverse real quick. You know, oh my God.
So did he start in the back seat, do you think, and then ended up in the front seat in the accident? Or do you think that they actually put him in the front seat?
I don't know, but I got to tell you, I clicked on the link. Yes. To the news story, yes. And I find it hilarious, and let me tell you why. Because this is clearly Minneapolis. They talk about it was a Shetland pony.
Yes, it was
in the front seat. First of all, how the hell could you fit a Shetland pony in your front seat?
It was a mini.
And so there's a picture here, and it says an example of a Shetland pony. And it's a mini.
It's a mini. Did say that the Shetland pony, on average, are about 40 inches tall, which I think is a little short. I doubt that the one that was in the car was actually 450 pounds. That's about scooter size, weight-wise.
Yeah. They say the Shetland pony is the smallest breed of horse, though on average are still 40 inches tall and weigh about 450 pounds, and they originate from the Shetland Islands in Scotland. I don't know if any of that's true.
Well, it's what they found on Wikipedia. I have another accident here, real quick. This is a carriage now. This is in Zurich, Germany, or Switzerland. Zurich, Switzerland. And this is this guy was driving, a 62-year-old man was driving his horse-drawn carriage on a dirt road beside the Rhine River. Everybody's heard of the Rhine River, right? Sure. And he was driving along the river when some dogs appeared and apparently spooked his horse. The animal tried to turn around. It stumbled backwards. I've done this, by the way. It stumbled backwards, not into a river, though, down an embankment, dragging the carriage with it into the water. The driver was able to jump from the carriage and extricate the horse from the carriage and get everybody out, and nobody was hurt. But they have a picture. The carriage is completely submerged in the water. So this thing went down good into the water.
Oh my
so
gosh.
He must have had a quick release harness on there to be able to get that horse off that carriage as quickly as he did. Looks like it was a competition carriage of some kind. But
do they
yeah,
have quick release things
they
for
do.
Horses?
They do. All the competition carriages, most of them that you see at the competitions, the buckles that actually hook the horse to the carriage, the parts of the harness that do that have quick releases. You just pull on them and it releases, so you can get the horse out quickly and easily. And it was for reasons like this, but it took a swim.
My gosh. Oops. And that's no small little river.
No, it's the Rhine.
Speaking of river horses, if you want a little moment here, Arizona lawmakers, remember we talked about the Salt River Wild Horses, and I've now been to visit them twice. Yeah. It's a lake / river / national forest that is east of Phoenix. A lot of Phoenix is not desert. Like this whole forest kind of goes all the way up to the Grand Canyon area. It's a really big national forest. And the congressional delegation for Arizona, like all of the congressmen, are still looking into why the hell we cannot get protection for these Salt River wild horses. People are still flooding, you know, our local government to make this happen. And Representative Matt Salmon's office says the state's nine congressional representatives, so our nine congresspeople, sent a letter to the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture on Friday. And this panel wants to find out, they sent it to Tom Vilsack, who is the Secretary of Ag, whatever. They want to find out why the hell the U.S. Forest Service has not followed up on plans to consult with the people in the state about managing a plan, because we were supposed to have a management plan by the end of this year. Conservationists have been protesting their plans. Remember in August, all of a sudden they put up a notice, hey, by the way, we're going to round up all these horses. And by the way, they may get sentenced to slaughter. I mean, seriously, it said that we will auction them off or we will dispose of them is what this notice said. So people went crazy. The Forest Service ended up having to halt the roundup. And they said that they would work with the Salt River Wild Horse Management Group. Well, it has not happened. And thank God.
Big surprise there.
I know. Oh, God, it just irritates me. So when you go to visit the Salt River Wild Horses, you have to buy a pass to get into any of that area. And what you do we take the pass. And you take your pass and you wrote, I was here because of the wild horses, and you mail it back to the Forest Service. So people have been doing that to like let the Forest Service know that these horses are making them money. I wouldn't have gone to the forest without seeing wild horses. So at any rate, people are still trying and still doing stuff to get it done. Ugh, just makes me so mad.
Well, we spoke a little bit earlier about the NARHA. That's the National Reining Horse Association, and they had their 50th running of the NARHA for Charity. And the championships that just went on in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And guess who was there? There was a superstar there.
Now, was he competing or was he just being his salty, awesome self?
Well, we're talking about Smokey, which is Bob Baffert's horse that you always see the Palomino that Bob Baffert is riding is Smokey.
Buckskin deer. Buckskin.
Buckskin. Sorry. Yep.
Oh, my God. You say Palomino? I didn't even catch it.
Yeah. So the buckskin that Bob Baffert, sorry about that, is riding all the time. They covered Smokey endlessly during the Triple Crown races and everything. Well, he apparently made a guest appearance and did the test ride because he was a reining horse at one time. Yeah. He's 6 years old. He did a test ride and he's available all week during the futurity for pictures and you can go up and say hi to him. So a super celebrity at the NRHA.
Oh my gosh, that's so neat. And of course, this actually is in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, right?
Yep,
No, it ended this weekend.
Oh, did it end now?
Concludes December 5th.
Okay, yep. It was in Oklahoma City. How far will Oklahoma City be for you when you're...
About 40 minutes.
Because there's a ton of cool stuff that goes on at that arena.
Oh, yeah. There's some really cool stuff at that arena in Oklahoma City.
They have English Western, all kinds of jumping. They have all kinds of stuff at that arena.
I know. It's going to be great. I'm going to have to start reining and cutting.
That's right.
When I move to
Oklahoma. And do a little Western dressage, too.
Yeah, apparently.
Do a little Western dressage.
Apparently, our hosts are known for that.
Now, I was looking at the article says a special thank you to the NRHA partners, and they begin to list their sponsors. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, they get a lot of cool sponsors.
There's like 40 sponsors in this article, from Adequan to Smart Pack to Lucas Oil to John Deere. How?
There's so much money in the Western world.
Oh, my gosh. And that's because these people hand it to them. I would like to tell you that you will get more for your money if you buy some time on a podcast. Platinum Performance, we can be advertising for you.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Thank you for that.
More. Then there's the event sponsors. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
they
get a ton of sponsors in the Western events. They really do.
I'm calling BS. I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to make something happen. This is ridiculous. Eventing, people. Eventing. It's the wave of the future.
Hey, I saw a racehorse's Olympic name in the news, and this gives some love to all our listeners up in the Northwest, that I saw a racehorse's name in the news I hadn't seen in a while, and that's Giacomo.
Giacomo.
Yes. Tell me about that. What was the scoop there?
You read the story, and then I'll tell you who Giacomo is, because I know that's what you're going to ask next.
Yes. So Giacomo is Kentucky Derby winner, right? And arrived at Portland International Airport 2 weeks ago via Federal Express airplane. And he is going to reside in Oregon. He's going to be at a breeding farm, Oakhurst Thoroughbreds in Newburgh. He's going to be in a stall alongside Grindstone, who won in 1996. By the way, that is a name I read, and I had to go back to Wikipedia and go, boy, I don't remember a Grindstone ever winning.
You don't?
No. Oh, I don't remember that. So I went back and looked. But so this is going to be the first time that two Kentucky Derby winners have resided in the state at the same time. And apparently only the second time that that's ever happened, period, outside of Kentucky. So they're very excited about the fact that they have two Kentucky Derby winners. And apparently this guy is leasing for breeding Giacomo, who won in 2005.
Oh, that's so cool. They both won Grindstone won the Triple Crown. I'm sorry, the Classic, the Breeders' Cup Classic. Now, Giacomo is a horse that is a son of Holy Bull, who won the Eclipse Award in late 1994. It's amazing. But here's where I get a little stuck with Giacomo. He was actually the second biggest. He's tied with Mind That Bird as one of the biggest long shots to ever win the Derby. You know, Jet's daddy was like number three, Lily T, who won in the 80s. But Giacomo's jockey was none other than Mike Smith. Oh, sorry, I sneezed.
Mike has caused you a lot of heartache over the years.
Yeah, Mike Smith, son of a gun.
By the way, Giacomo, you want to know what his breeding rate is currently?
Probably not very much.
2,500. Right? Yep. Okay. Yeah. See, that's a disadvantage of being a long shot that wins. And not having very good breeding.
Well, it's the good thing about once you win the Derby, it don't matter who you are, you will be a breeding stallion right. For the rest of your life. Right. You know, I mean,
you do at least have a job.
He was third in the Preakness, and I'm reading seventh in the Belmont Stakes. So he did not close out the Triple Crown. He faded a little bit. He was tired, but that's the good thing. What happens when you continue to be a when you're a Derby winner, you get to be a breeding stallion, no matter what.
Well, congratulations to everybody there in Oregon who get to have two Kentucky Derby winners now at stud.
Yeah,
there.
Very cool. Get to have Grindstone. Now, speaking of thoroughbreds that are moving around, Smarty Jones is officially... Now, this is so cool because Jennifer loves Smarty Jones just like I do. Oh, my God. Love Smarty Jones. He now is living at Calumet Farm. He has arrived. He is there. He's hanging out next door to Point Given. And he's there with, I think Oxbow's there as well, who won the Preakness a couple years ago. And just really, really cool that Smarty is back in Kentucky because he went up to Pennsylvania, but then finally came back down and is living at Calumet, but they said that it was funny when he got there. He was trying to establish dominance and attacking people when they were coming to get him. But he's settled down. He's settled down now, and now he's figured out. He's now figured out that we're not here to hurt him. So, yeah. Like, nobody's ever hurt Smarty Jones in his life. He's just been a stud, a spoiled stud. But he's settled down there. He's learning the daily routine, they said.
Very good. Well, before we get to our song, I wanted to mention horselovers.com, 45 days of Christmas deals. They are currently, when I looked today, they were having their 48-hour end-of-year warehouse sale with up to 90% off on a bunch of different stuff. I went in there, there must have been hundreds of products. So if you're looking for a Christmas gift for somebody or yourself, head on over to horselovers.com/HRN1, Horse Radio Network 1. The number one, and you'll find all of the deals there. And as I said, there was a ton of different products in this warehouse sale right now, from boots to coats to I'm looking at Ariat Crown Pro Field Boots, the zip kind for.
Where do I find this? Is a sale?
Yeah, go to horselovers.com/HRN1. They have these Ariat boots at half price, $174 originally, $350. They have riding breeches. They have expensive, you know, stuff that started off expensive, stuff that started off less expensive. There's 41 pages.
Oh my God! All these. If you need a blanket, there's. Stop, Briar. I'm gonna click that link.
Oh, there's Briar. I didn't see the Briar. They have
Briars are on sale. I'm in trouble.
They have tack and t-shirts. They have t-shirts for $4.99. Logo t-shirts for $4.99.
Is it inappropriate for a 37-year-old woman to spend $159 on a deluxe wood barn with a cupola for their Briars?
No, it is not.
No, okay. Well, if you had a daughter, that would be
it's
an easier
Lucas.
Sell, I think.
I mean,
especially with the vet bills right now, it might be an easier sell if you had a daughter. I'm just saying.
It's like I'm making money buying this because it's on sale.
That's $40 really off. Cool custom hoof picks with designs on them. I'm just on here shopping. Those are really cool. I've never seen those before.
They even sell livestock feeders.
Do they really?
Yes.
All right, tractor all of that. Reviews. They have gloves. They have Equus gloves for $8.99. Those are usually
this is great. Horse lovers with a Z.com.
Yeah, those are usually $20.
Slash HRN.
Slash HRN1.
I can paint my own Briar.
Jennifer used to do that. We used to sell them at the shirt store. All right, that's horselovers.com/HRN1. Let's take a break for a little Templeton Thompson. Then we're coming back with Leslie Wiley with Horse Nation.
I need a ramble for my Zenyatta.
Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Can't you hear those bells? Christmas times are coming. Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's are calling, tall pines are humming, 'cause Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing, joy, joy, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home, yeah. Holly's in the window, home's where the wind blows. Can't walk for running, 'cause Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing, joy, joy, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home. Folks back home when Christmas times are coming. Can't you hear those bells ringing, ringing, joy, joy, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home. 'Cause Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, and I know I'm going home. Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, Christmas times are coming, and Lord, I'm going home.
Templeton Thompson, Christmas times are coming. I told Glenn he could play a Christmas song, but he was not allowed to play any more Radiothon. He was only allowed to play some Templeton Thompson today. So
I had so much fun picking on you about that.
I do apologize to Denise and Bill. We will not be playing your song again. Only because
they didn't want to hear it again either.
Yeah. He was going to play you again, but I stopped it. Sorry. We love you. Now, I just want to, first of all, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today, let's see, by Omega Alpha Equine. Did we talk about Omega Alpha?
Yes, we did. Yep.
We did. Okay, good. Well, because there's something I would like to play that happened in the 12th hour of the radiothon. So it begins with the introduction. So please, Glenn, here we go.
What's your favorite holiday memory?
Oh, man. You know, I think that I would like to swing in the opposite direction and say that I think that for the first maybe 10, 11 years of my life, Christmas was always a traumatic, emotionally devastating event for me.
Well, that's happy thoughts.
Of course it was. It was looking good. It's going to be great.
Because, you know, like all I wanted was a horse. Oh, that's all a pony, like whatever, something with four legs that I could ride around in circles. Like that was all I wanted. And I just felt like every year I was just in tears because I did not get the horse. I didn't understand why Santa hated me, like what I did wrong, you know, to deserve nothing resembling a live horse for Christmas. So yeah, so like Christmas is really sad. That sounds really bratty. It probably is really bratty, but
yeah, kind of. It's Southern bratty, if anything. Yes,
it ruins Christmas. But then it got better, like because I finally did get my first air quote event prospect, which my parents invested several hundred dollars in a 3-year-old quasi baroque.
Oh, you can grow together.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We have a song for that.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I was.
Yeah, I was like 11. Like, here you go. Which I think it may have been like an assassination attempt on their own daughter. I'm not sure.
Well, you were a bratty child, so we determined that.
Well, you want a horse? Here's a horse.
Yeah. Here, go play. Don't wear your helmet. It's okay. You don't need that.
Go play. It means she would walk to the barn or ride her bike and then stand by the fence and cry because she couldn't ride her pony. I know that pain. Don't worry. My parents weren't horse people either.
Now, I would like to say hello to Leslie Wiley, and then I'm gonna give you some real stuff here for a second. But go hello, Leslie.
Good morning. I just remembered when I heard that the caller that suggested I start that I was what did she say, adorable when I've been drinking, and maybe I should start spiking my coffee in the morning. And I just remembered that. So maybe next week.
You haven't spiked your coffee yet.
No.
Now, I wanted to tell you that whereas Glenn thought, my God, she sounds like a brat, I wanted to tell you that I'm with you, girl. I'm with you, sister. Like, that is exactly how Christmas was for me. It was a nightmare. I run down the stairs. Oh, my God. Like, for some reason, I thought there was going to be a pony in my living room. And I'd run down the stairs. And there would always be, like, a stuffed horse. And my mom would go, there's your horse. You got your horse. You're like, that's not a horse. I will knife that thing. I hate it.
Like, oh, cute. Where's my real horse?
And so at some point, now this is where we do turn to brats, is eventually we won and we got our horses. And where your first horse was 3 years old and unbroke, mine was 30.
Uh-huh. Wow.
That's all the story. That's it. Like, it was 30. And it was a skeleton. And bless her little heart, Misty. Her name was Misty. And she belonged to like these people that couldn't keep her anymore. And so she came to my house. And like, I don't know. I rode her, I guess. I got an ambling walk sideways as she was stumbling because she's so old.
Well, I was going to say, that's kind of dangerous to you.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was, Death Wish 2. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I'm with you, girl. Christmas was horrible for me, too. And but only because we're the worst children. We're like the worst kids.
It was so funny, too, because we had just had, 100 people on during the day. All these big celebrities and all our callers all day long telling about their wonderful, memorable Christmas times. And then Leslie comes on and says, mine sucked.
But she was real. That was a real girl. That was honest. And I appreciated it.
Thank you. Thank you.
How much alcohol had you consumed by that point of the evening, too?
I don't know. What time? It was like 8, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time after past happy hour.
On a Monday? Why wouldn't you?
Monday.
Come on. I love it. That was so funny. It was great. Thank you.
That was so much fun. Thanks for having us on. Oh my gosh.
One of my favorite hours of the entire day, for sure, was the eventing. And I just love Boyd Martin even more.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my rooster shirt for Christmas, by the way, Leslie.
Yeah, that whole hour was just a hot mess. Loved it.
I just, him talking about having to go and meet the, you know, and being in the sweater, and then like everybody's all dressed up. Just the Germans. It was so funny.
You guys will come back and end next year's, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good.
if you want us back.
Oh, yeah, that was the best way. Oh, we were so tired. We were so happy you guys were there to take over.
You did great. You did great. It was a great hour. Very entertaining. Yeah. If anybody has not heard it, I definitely suggest you go and listen. I mean, it started like that. What you just heard started the hour.
It's like the end of a fireworks show where they just like suddenly just set off, you know, like
all of them,
like the finale, and then it's over.
So everything that's left, they just like.
And I have to tell you, I was at the end of 12 hours. I do want to tell you this. I was at the end of 12 hours, and I was pretty tired. Wendy was too. We were all pretty tired. Jennifer was about ready to pass out. And we were having so much fun with you guys. I almost thought about extending it an hour, but then I thought I'd be in divorce court. So.
Oh, we could have kept going.
I know. You guys were like, they were typing in the background, Jamie, let's do another hour.
Yeah. Let's do it. Unbelievable. Well, hey, real quick, just to get back to that, you talked a little bit about that 3-year-old horse that your parents got you, the Death Wish horse. And it eventually did become your event prospect. And you eventually did grow out of it, sell it. And isn't this the horse you have back now?
Yes. Yeah. It's. Yeah. This is.
Yay! I love this story.
Yeah.
Tell the story. Yeah. Tell the story.
Aw. So yeah, I got his name's Mishka, and he did. Our path was there were some trips to the emergency room along our path to training level eventing greatness. But he carried me all through high school, and then after I sort of grew, you know, he's kind of like, well, I think he's maybe maxed out at training level, but he turned out to be a super duper horse. And he went to live with, a couple of pony club sisters. And they had him for, oh my goodness, 16 years, I think. And now the girls are all, you know, they're grown up, they're married, and their parents were, the farm was getting to be a little much for their parents to keep up with. So they're going to sell the farm. And they called me earlier this year and asked me if I knew anyone who might want to give Mishka a home. And so in Mishka now being 26, I think, 26, 25, 26. And so I was like, of course, send him back to me. So yeah. And it's just like, no time has passed at all. He whinnies to me in the field, and like, I've ridden him around a little bit, and he's it's so cool.
For those who need a happy story at Christmas, just to get you in the mood. That is one of my favorite things that has ever, I have a thing with horses that I've sold to. I tell everybody, I'm like, when they're old, give them back, because I don't want them to end up at a sale on a Saturday morning at an auction going in some truck, you know, like I want them back. So eventually I just keep tabs on all of them. And what you're living the future dream that I have. I've sold 3 or 4 horses here, and they will all come back to me at some point. And you're proof that it can happen. So it's inspirational to me what you did.
I apologize for calling you a rotten, spoiled brat.
No, I still am.
But you know, karma. She's paying it forward is what she's doing. She might have been a terror back then to this little pony, but she's like taking care of it in its elder years. So,
I actually wrote a column about it. A few months ago, and Yeah, and
you need to re-release that one. This is a good little Christmas story. You need to re-release it.
Aww.
Put it back on the front page. But so Mish goes home, and that's that 3-year-old that she was talking about. And really hard to get it done. So anyway, before I continue to Daddy, I bring myself to tears.
I want another pony.
Yes.
Another pony. And I got another pony, too. I mean, the brat keeps rolling.
Yeah, now you have a husband bug.
Yeah, that's right.
I want another pony. Now, I love the fact that what you sent to us in this email, usually you guys behind the scenes, Leslie sends us an email with what we're going to kind of cover in today's show. But I got to read what you wrote to us. It says, "Good morning. Some days I think that surely by now I must know close to everything that there is to know about horses. I mean, I spend 8+ hours a day reading about and writing about horse stuff on the internet, interviewing horse people, etc. And then articles like these come along and I realize that I've just barely made a dent." I felt the exact same way when I read this 10 extinct horse breeds a couple days ago. I couldn't put it down. I was fascinated.
Yeah, I was like, I've never even heard of these horses, or most of them. It was written by Amanda Ronan. She actually did two columns for us this week that just floored me, and it made me think, like, oh, you know, I actually don't know everything. You never stop learning. The other one was Weird But True Horse Facts Anatomy Edition. And they both were just, it was just fact after fact of like, didn't know that. Didn't realize that.
Let's give me a couple of the horse breeds. We don't want to give the whole thing away because I want people to go read this and be as interested as I was. But I guarantee you, I never in my entire life have heard of the horse, the Ferghana.
Nope. You've seen it. This looks like the horse that's in front of P.F. Chang's, right?
Yeah.
You know, it does. That's what I thought of.
Exactly right.
I guess it was a Chinese breed that looks think of the P.F. Chang's horse.
It's very stocky. Yeah, Chinese, like Oriental Asian type, like giant, like you see the statues of them, and they're the big Baroque kind of looking Asian horse. I don't even know how to describe it, but obviously all that there is a statue of the skeleton and then a statue below that was just made. But reading about this, Leslie, it says Chinese statuaries and paintings show these horses that were legs were proportionally short, powerful crests and round barrels. But then it goes on. Oh my God. According to tradition, these horses sweat blood. And you must have realized that these big, tough Chinese guys were like, yeah, my horse sweats blood. Like, it's cool. I mean, this was like the Han Empire had these horses in their regime, and they imported them and they required them to have all for these war horses. And it turns out that the reason modern scientists think that they were sweating blood was they had parasites. Multi papillosa blood sucking parasite caused sweat to get mixed with blood when the horses were working. So basically, they just needed some ivermectin.
They were wormed. Yeah, they needed wormed.
How crazy, though. Like, how crazy that is. And they probably just thought it was the coolest thing that their horses sweat blood. These poor horses were like...
I got to tell you guys, too. This just reminded me. I wanted to tell Jamie about this. I was on Facebook the other day, and I typed in horse radio to go to our page. And I discovered there's another horse radio. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to get to call the lawyer, you know, file the suit, right? And I go there. It's a Mongolian rock band named Horse Radio.
What?
Yes, it's this Mongolian rock band named Horse Radio, and I found an article about them that I transcribed through, you know, Google Transcribe, which, by the way, does not work real well when you're transcribing Mongolian or whatever they speak over there. And but it basically was trashing this band as one of many rock bands trying to come out of Mongolia. First of all, who knew that there were a lot of rock bands coming out of Mongolia? And I thought, well, after that, I thought, well, I might as well not bother with the lawyer, right? I mean, who am I going to send it to? There was this picture of them on the plains with their drums and stuff. So of Mongolia. So I didn't figure I had a lot to worry about there.
I just looked this up. I'm going to have to listen, check this out.
Yeah, I didn't listen to any of it. I couldn't find anywhere where you could actually play it.
Oh, I've got your link right here.
There is a thing that says, you walk up to somebody and you go, dang, are you the second page of Google or what? Because nobody gives a crap about what you have to say.
Exactly.
Like, nobody cares about the second page of Google. Horse Radio Band is on the second page of Google. And you can't take blood from a turnip, my friend.
Oh, can you, does it have a link? You guys chat a while. I'll see if I can find some of their music. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, I don't know. I'd love to hear it.
All right. Go ahead. Keep chatting. I'll find it. Mongolian, though. That's really weird.
Well, yeah, they have it looks like their song titles are mostly.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's one called Awful Awful. You want to hear some of it?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It's opening something else. I don't know what I'm even doing.
Oh, no.
What is this? Awful Awful.
Owl Owl.
Owl Owl. Java. I'll skip ahead. Oh, it doesn't change.
Probably it.
It's still the same. Let me skip ahead some more. Oh, I didn't get... It's really slow bandwidth in Mongolia. I can't get it to go. Well, there you go. That's...
It's like club yoga, club music.
Oh, this is like the little guy that's always at like the flea markets and yard sales that's playing that thing, that instrument. I really don't think we have to worry about him breaking any world records.
Hold on, I want to hear this. This is so beautiful.
Okay.
It's magic.
I wonder if I'm going to get sued by somebody in Mongolia.
Well, you can sue them back because they stole your name.
Okay, well, I don't know how they call this a rock band.
That is a song? Like, that's a rock song?
All right, go ahead. I'll just keep this in the background.
We can just talk over it. The next article that you guys talked about was Weird But True Horse Facts Anatomy Edition.
Oh, they're singing. Wait. Okay, you can go now.
He said, I love horses.
I love horses.
How do you ever get to name Horse Radio for a band?
Translate.
They got it from Google Translate is where they got it.
You know, I better turn it off. I might get a letter from the Mongolian rights people about playing Mongolian music without paying a fee.
God, but that'd be so worth it.
Sorry, I just came up. Sorry, go ahead.
You chicken. Play Templeton Thompson all day long, but won't play 20 seconds of Mongolian songs. Oh, okay. Carrying on about the Anatomy Edition. You just don't think about it. But who knew that horses did not have collarbones?
Here's my favorite fact that I just, you know, I guess I could have put it together, but okay. A horse's teeth take up more space in their head than their brain.
Why does that sound so funny?
I'm not surprised. You know?
Some more than others.
Some more than others. They love eating.
Yeah, some more than not thinking.
Sometimes. Yeah. Eat more, think less.
Their brains are actually not very big, are they? They're like tiny. They're not very big.
Yeah. Some horses are bigger than others.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, and the way this was written, there was one sentence in here. The way it was written, I wondered about it. It said horses have between 36 and 44 teeth, depending on sex. And right away, I thought, how much sex? Does that matter? You know, immediately I went there. But
oh yeah,
it's kind of written the way it was written.
I have to. You're in charge of editing these articles, right, Leslie?
Yeah. Me and Kristen. Yeah.
Okay. So horses have the largest eyes of any land mammal. And I thought, well, don't ostriches, I thought ostriches have the biggest eyes. And so the first sentence is, the eyes of a horse are roughly 1¾ inches into diameter, surpassed only by the eyes of whales, seals, and ostriches.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't ostriches land animals?
That's true. That is true. You have a point. Of any land animal, parentheses, except for
ostriches. Just check it. I was like, wait, I thought that I knew that it was ostriches. Well, they're underwater ostriches in this one, apparently.
Mammal. I guess so. Yeah, I guess you're right. Okay, well,
look at the big thing this guy. My brain takes up more room than my teeth.
Boy, she's really sorry she came on this morning.
She's not.
Not only did we replay her moments, we are just ripping her to shreds about her.
You know, it's never too. It's still big. I feel like it's not too late to or too early to start in on the Baileys. You know, there's still time for that.
Before we let you go, I want to tell you that when I heard Leslie say about the whole Christmas thing with the pony and Christmas was horrible until she got a pony, I agreed with her. And I actually messaged her at that moment because I heard her and I was like, she's speaking about me. I said in a message, I said, I am pretty sure that you officially should be my best friend. And I messaged her that because I really felt what she said. And then I get this message back. True fact. Someday, Jamie, you and I are going to finally sit down together in the same physical location with a real life pitcher of margaritas. And we are going to start talking and the world is going to fold in on itself because it's going to be so good. Cheers.
And now back to Horse Radio. This is Down Horse Sunrider. Oh, there's horses in this one. Oh, this one's more upbeat than the last one. Not too bad. Hey, did you guys know they're starting to sell a Polaroid camera again?
Huh.
There's a new Polaroid camera for $300.
Wow.
You can have your own Polaroid camera. I wonder how much the little cartridges cost. Just a side note. There it is, Horse Radio.
What was the name of this song? Down Horse Sunset?
Down Horse Sunrider. And Robin just sent me a note and said, going to have to put that music on my kid's sleepy music.
I kind of like it.
That is, so like in regular DJ form, be like, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. That was Dushni Mori Unsanar. That means in Mongolian, down horse sunrider.
God, this feels like a Friday. Are we getting close to the holidays or what?
This week is.
Hey, wait, before we go, Leslie, just hang on a second. Do you have a second?
I do.
Yeah, just hang out with us. Because Jamie, before we go, we have to talk about this today or we're going to be in trouble. Luke, baby Luke, went on his first ride.
How did it go?
My gosh, can I tell you, my life has officially changed. My life is officially easier now. The kid and the husband sat on the horse together and went on a trail ride with me. It was so exciting.
Oh, my goodness.
I actually bought Chad's horse, my husband's horse, from a listener, sight unseen, because that's how things work with me. Sure, I'll take it. Send it down. Here's your check. I bought this horse named the Duke. And
is Glenn approved?
Glenn rode him when he came here. So it is Glenn approved. The Duke is the best trail horse ever. So Chad gets in his big Western saddle and throws Lucas in front of him. And they rode around together. I posted pictures on my Facebook. Maybe Jen will post it on the Horses in the Morning page. And it was so great. I rode Thor and I'm trying to take a selfie of Thor and me and Duke and Lucas and Chad all in the same. Thor got left out. So I did get everybody else in a little selfie on the trail. It was so cool. And from now on, when Chad's like, "Oh, well, what do you want to do?" I'm like, "You're getting on. Let's go." Because we can do it now. And Lucas loved it. He loved every second. He smiled the whole time and he asked to go faster.
Now, did at some point, I've been with Lucas for a little while. We spent two quality days together, and his attention span's about 2 minutes. So did he get halfway through the ride and want to jump off?
No, because I think he has self-preservation. He's like, Duke is like 16'2", okay? So he was not going to jump off. He actually loved it. He loved every second of it. Aww. I can't even tell you.
I'm just stalking you on Facebook right now, and the pictures are so cute.
Now, the one thing he did not love, apparently, was Santa Claus.
Oh, that did not go so well. that did. I can't wait. So I posted some pictures on my page of just like it was. If you ever had, you know, some piece of lint that won't get off your shirt and you pick it off and you throw it and it like comes right back to you, like just. That is my child. I'm trying to hand him to Santa and he is gripping my hair, my shirt. Like I'm trying to peel him off of me to hand him to Santa. I basically stick him in Santa's lap and he's like, and he wants to come right back to me. Well, at some point, Chad was photographing all of that. By the way, we wanted him to cry. We thought it would be hilarious. we didn't want him to. Then people were like, "We can get him to smile." I'm like, "No, this is good. This is all good." So he looks like a hungry wolf staring at the moon. So I like sit him on Santa's lap and I ran. And he's like, he has this like completely perplexed. I will get the photos this week. They're supposed to send me this week. You will love it. It's hilarious. He's like so unhappy about the whole thing. So there you go. We did it. He got his picture with Santa.
I wonder how many times a day that happens for Santa. And yes. Do you think they have a little running scorecard? Yep, I got 12 today.
Yeah.
So 12 kids cry.
Yeah, I mean, 12 kids cry.
I felt bad, though. I was like, "I'm sorry, my child hates you." Like, okay. Ho, ho, ho. It happens all the time.
All right. Let's call it a day. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. Endurance Day with Karen Chatton tomorrow. And then Jamie will be back on Wednesday. And, of course, you can find all of Leslie's work, which apparently is not really edited well, over at horsenation.com.
It's the Bailey's.
And edited by Leslie the Brat. We're changing her name now. So thanks again, guys. You guys were so much fun. You and Jenny last week and all your guests were hilarious. So it was a lot of fun. That's the most people we've ever had on a show at the same time. I think with the listeners there at one point, we had about 12 people talking. So yeah it was fun.
Sounded great.
It was all a good time. Thank you so much, Leslie. Take care.
Okay. Take care, guys.
Bye, Leslie.
Bye.
Spay, neuter, geld. Have a great day.
All right. See you, everybody. Take care. See you tomorrow. I can't get the music to play now. Oh, I still have it playing. I can't make it stop. It won't stop.
They've taken over horse radio.
They have.
Horse radio has.
Apparently the Mongolians just keep playing.
That's awful.
Oh, this is an exciting one.
It's beautiful.